Hello, my name is Marjorie Clendera, and I'm proud to say I work for the Butterball Turkey Talk Line. This has been an experience I've been enjoying for the last, 33 years. Each Thanksgiving, I get to help callers who have problems with cooking their turkeys. And that's why I have an enjoyable Thanksgiving day.
Okay, I'm Carol Miller, and I'm 68 years old, and today is November 12th, 2015. We're at the Chicago Cultural Center, and I'm with Marge Clendera, who I've known over 30 years and is my coworker at the Butterball Turkey Talk Line. Marge, you've been at the Talk Line a little bit longer than I am. Let's talk about how it started.
Well, in 1981, the Butterball Company decided that they needed to give some help to people who were struggling to cook their turkeys. And so they set up a call line, and it was one of the first 800 numbers, but they set it up in the test kitchen right there for Butterball. And they called in 7 home economists to answer the phone. They had some information on a Rolodex, and they started taking phone calls. They were right in the test kitchen in amongst the turkeys that were cooking there. And it was so popular that they decided they'd better continue doing that. So the next year, I got a call from a friend who had been one of those original 7.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she asked me if I wouldn't like to do it as well. Well, it was the first year my oldest daughter was coming home from college for Thanksgiving. And I wasn't ready to give up my Thanksgiving because I hadn't seen her since she left early in the fall. So I said, I don't think I can do that. But by the next year, so in 83, I said, maybe I'll give it a try. Because one of the requirements is that you work for 8 hours on Thanksgiving Day. And I've been there ever since. Of course, my whole family learned how to cook that way.
Oh, sure.
My husband was called into duty, as well as my 3 children. And later, they all thanked me because they all know how to cook turkey now.
Yeah. I remember, and I started a couple years after you, and I remember those calls where people would be so surprised that we were there, and they weren't used to taking and making 800 phone calls because it was so new. And, they'd talk to you for 10 minutes, and all of a sudden they'd say, are you sure? Are you sure that this isn't, I'm not going to have to pay for this? And we said, no, you're not going to pay for that. Yeah. Because before that, they got all their information from cookbooks or mom or a coworker and whatever. And when you start getting all that information from all these different people, it really gets confusing. So when they had a number that they can call, it was absolutely toll free. They didn't have to pay for it. And these people were experts, so they called us, and it's amazing. Some of those same people are still calling us.
They're still
calling us. Or they'll say, I remember when my mom called you, and I didn't think I would ever call you because I didn't think I'd ever have a question, and lo and behold, they're admitting, they're calling.
Here I am.
Yeah, it's funny, yeah. Your background is in home ed, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I was originally a high school home ec teacher, and then when I went back to teaching after having my family, I taught middle school for 19 years. But in the meantime, I had started working for Butterball, so I was able to work Butterball after school because we worked from 4 to 8 as well as all day. And so I did the 4 to 8 shift for about 19 years.
It's kind of how I started, too. I have, just like you, I have a degree in home economics education, and everybody that on the talk line had a background in foods and their dietitians and things like that. But when I graduated from college, I didn't immediately get a job, and then my husband got drafted. And, you know, I went with him across the country, and they were not hiring women whose husbands were in the military. So by the time he was done with that, and then I went, you know, we went back home, we bought a home, I got a job, I had kids, and I never taught. So when the neighbor across the street started working for Butterball, she said, you know, Carol, you know, get back in, you know, get back on the horse, you know, use your education. Mm-hmm. And she worked at night because she had kids. And I thought, oh, well, I can do that. And, you know, just like you, lo and behold, did we think we were going to do it for over 30 years?
Right.
No. I think that happens to a lot of people. Maybe not now. I think people are amazed that somebody would do something for that long, even though it is a seasonal job. You know, we're there training
right.
in October and answering calls in November and December, but it is amazing. So that's how I started and, you know, have been there ever since.
Well, it's we've become like a family.
Oh, yes. Oh,
because
yes.
The people come back year
yeah.
after year after year, and we find out about their families.
Oh, we do.
And
we do.
Just this past week, we had to notice how many new grandchildren were born amongst our coworkers.
I know, and it's I was amazed that they mentioned that our average stint of people have been there an average of 16 years, which, you know, you and I, over 30, we kind of, you know,
right.
make that average go a little crazy. But it is amazing. And I've noticed that same thing about the babies. Those people that we were talking about their new grandchildren, we used to talk to them about, you know,
their
baby training, getting them into high school and college and going through weddings with them. And it was amazing when we had our kickoff day, which is that big day where we all get together and kind of learn about what's going to be new and things like that, that we were now sharing stories and pictures of brand new grandkids. So
yeah,
it is a family. It is a family that we have shared and whatever. We throw back Thanksgiving, and you know, we look at our past history together. We look at, you know, we have that box of photos from that old box of photos, just like families. They get out all those old pictures. And this year we actually we're posting some of those pictures. So when I go on Facebook, I go, oh my gosh, there I am when I was in my 30s. Could that have ever been?
With the new hairdo.
With the new hairdo, yeah. And, you know, and
right.
a few more wrinkles and whatever, but we're... You know, it's fun to do that.
Could you describe the group that works on Thanksgiving Day?
You know, Marge and I are there on Thanksgiving Day, and everybody. We have a group of about 50 on average. That's about our mm-hmm. how many people we mm-hmm. have, give or take. And we're all there on Thanksgiving because we cannot desert America on Thanksgiving.
We're putting in our 8 hours, and sometimes it's a continuous 8 hours, but we have several who come and work for maybe 4 hours, go home and have Thanksgiving, and come back and work 4 hours at the end of the day. And that way we can cover a larger period of time.
Yeah, it sounds a little crazy, but it's the culmination, and it's the most satisfying and the most fun to be there on that day. And that's because when you know, you pick up a phone call, it's not you and the person on the phone, it's a whole house full of people. You actually can hear kids running around in the background, and you can just hear that, what's going on. And
we've had it where they've taken the phone to the dining room table for instructions on how to carve their turkey. And so we're instructing them right there
right.
at the dining room
oh, right,
table.
Right, right. And many times they think they have a catastrophe, and many times they don't have a catastrophe. It may be as simple as, you know, they left the giblets in the turkey. Oh, my gosh, I've ruined Thanksgiving. And that's not the case, you know. Or sometimes it's a snowstorm. You know, Marge, you were telling me the other day about Seattle, the year that...
Right. We had 20,000 homes right in the middle of turkey cooking time that were without power. And we had call after call of what do we do? And, of course, it depended upon how far into the cook they were, whether they could stop the cook, put it back in the refrigerator, whether they were nearly done, whether they had a grill so they could put it on the grill outdoors, that sort of thing. And, of course, there were a few that had to discard their birds because they were not going to be safe. But we felt like we really did a public service that day.
It's kind of funny because on Thanksgiving, we could be weathermen and report the weather because we know, you know, where the flight delays are in the airports because, you know, I've taken a call from someone, I think she was in North Carolina, and she was supposed to be, like, in New York or someplace cooking Thanksgiving dinner, and her flight was late. So here she is sitting in the airport, and she's talking to me about how she's going to solve the problem when she gets to New York, how she's going to cook that turkey faster or whatever. So, you know, you always know the weather. What's, you know.
What's going on here or there, sure. And, of course, we do help people with every kind of question, whether it be early on how much turkey to buy, whether that turkey they've had in their freezer for a year is still good, can they use it? And as we get closer, of course, it's deciding, you know, what side dishes they're going to serve, how they're going to make their stuffing, and so on. It's kind of a fluid questions because they change as the season goes on.
November, first Monday in November when we open, they are different than what we get on Thanksgiving Day. So,
and we like to say we kind of deal with turkey trauma because people call and they're very, very worried about what's going on. And we feel like we kind of hold their hands and talk them through. And usually we can come out with a good solution for them. And it makes them feel good, and it certainly makes us feel good, too.
Sometimes it helps if you get them laughing.
Right.
And, you know, and tell them, you know, you don't believe what I did once. I'm a turkey expert, and this is what I did in my kitchen. I got in a situation like we all get in situations. And the reality is that sometimes if they've done something that's really going to delay the cooking process, I just tell them to have a backwards Thanksgiving. Have pumpkin pie first, go out for a walk, then come back and maybe have side dishes and then go to the turkey. And they think that's a hoot. And, you know, I always wonder if they actually take my advice or if they really do that. And then, you know, from years to now, from then, they say, do you remember the year that we had pumpkin pie first? You know, but that's what's really fun on Thanksgiving is because you are really walking into everybody's tradition. You are walking into everybody's situation. So, and you mentioned how we're a family at the talk line, which we are a family. And then you have all those families that you help on Thanksgiving Day and, you know, leading up to Thanksgiving and December too. And then you have your own family, you know, so it's incredible. You know, people say, you mean you've given up Thanksgiving for all these years? And I never feel like I've ever given anything up. I've never have. No.
Well, lately I've been going to a cousin because I'm widowed and alone. My children all live out of state. And so I've been lucky to be invited, and I'm like the honored guest because she tells me, oh, don't bring anything, you're too busy working.
Does she worry about her cooking the turkey?
Is always wonderful, whether it is or not. It's wonderful.
Very good, Marge, very good.
But it's really been a delight to be able to do that.
You know, Marge, tell me again that cute story about when you came and there were some new people there and they showed something?
Oh, well, one of the first years I went to this cousin, it's actually my husband's cousin, and he doesn't have too many relatives in the Chicago area, and neither do I, so they invited me. And I really didn't know Linda's family very well. I hadn't really met them. But we're sitting about just before we're going to have dinner, and John said, well, we have a little pre-dinner entertainment for you. And he puts in the, I think it was a VCR at that time, and put in the tape. And here it was, I had done an interview. I was on the Conan O'Brien show that year. And here I was on the television. And that's how the family met me for the first
You were the appetizer for dinner, weren't you,
They were very impressed. And I felt kind of bad because I really didn't want to be the star of the dinner.
But they were enjoying you because
it was fun. So now every year they ask me, well, what are you doing this year? How can you top that?
That's kind of hard to top you and Conan.
It was a fun experience, tell you.
Yeah, well, that's one thing that you and I never ever thought in our lifetimes that we would ever do. And because we're supervisors, one of our jobs is also to talk to radio and TV and things like that. You know, not only again when you talk about how we reach people, we also reach people, you know, one on one, but we also, you know, educate people by, you know, doing radio interviews and stuff like that. So
sure.
There's things that I've done, you know, going to New York and LA and my husband always laughs at me because someone will come on to TV and I'll go, I've talked to them, you know, and I think, but I'm not bragging. It's just that I'm amazed to see them and that I actually talked to them. So every once in a while I kind of pinch myself and I go, I can't believe I did that. So that I was brave enough to do that or whatever. But I don't know about you. It's kind of like talking, like we're talking.
Right.
It's one person talking to another person. So I don't think about all those other people that are listening. So.
No, and you have to realize what your role is. When I was doing the interview with Conan, I knew he was going to be the funny person and I was to be the straight person, and it worked beautifully, except I did get one laugh that the whole audience thought was wonderful because he was rubbing oil on the turkey, which I hadn't told him he should do, but he was massaging. And I finally said, you know, you don't have to massage it all day. It's just a
we
a
need
light
to get
coating.
It in the oven, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Could you walk us through a day, like a Thanksgiving day? Like, when do you guys start?
Okay.
And that whole process.
Yeah. You know, Thanksgiving Day really, you know, is great. And we have different schedules. So people do show up at different times because mm-hmm. we're there a long time, you know, like from 6 at night or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we do have a difference. Typically, though, you know, we arrive, we get ready. You know, Marge and I might have interviews. If not, we're talking on the phone. It just depends on what's going on.
Well, it depends upon the stage of cooking these people are in, mm-hmm. and of course what part of the country they're calling from, because the early calls of course will be from the East Coast and the later calls will be from the West Coast. And you know, it's over and over with the questions of how do I know when it's done and things like that.
One time I talked to a guy like at 6 a.m. in the morning, and he asked me this question, and I said, you're up early, and he says, no, I'm calling from Hawaii. I didn't even think the fact that, you know, that it was a huge time difference or whatever. Mm. Yeah, you know, Thanksgiving, I used to work the split shift, which meant, I think you were describing that before, I would be the person that came in at 6 or 5 or whatever, depending on what was going on, and then I would leave like at 10 and then come back and finish like at
finish
2 to 6
day.
And people thought, oh, poor Carol, she had to do that. But the beauty was that I went to my mother-in-law's or my sister-in-law's, they cooked, I ate, and then I left. So it really, you know, it was nice. But the beauty is that I could watch Thanksgiving march across the country, because when I first came, it was East Coast people that mm-hmm. I was talking mm-hmm. to, and they were getting the turkeys in the oven. By the time I came back, they were calling about leftovers, and then the people in the West Coast were still getting their turkeys in the oven. So that was always an interesting thing that I experienced on my Thanksgiving at the talk line.
Could you share how many calls you guys get?
Yeah, you know, on Thanksgiving Day is the day we count more calls than anything else, mm-hmm. and we average about 10,000 calls. Now, that's people that we talk to one-on-one, but we also have people that are doing social media and emails and live chats and all those things. So when you factor in how many we add there, and then if we are doing interviews, we're then talking to people out of their TV sets or radio,
right.
their radios, and you know they maybe have the TV in their kitchen and are about ready to put the TV or the turkey in the oven, and they're standing there listening to us give tips and things. So we reach lots of people.
Well, and when you realize that's probably more than 200 calls per person
that are taking phone calls,
Phone calls, that's doing a lot of talking. And a few years we've had people who actually lost their voices
because they
were talking so much.
Yeah, but sometimes the more excited people that are, you know, would have a tendency to do that. So,
right.
Yeah. What's cute, too, is I always can see what people are talking about because people, they use their hands, and so I can almost tell if they're putting by what they're doing with their hands, or they're helping them to put the turkey in the oven, or they're trying to put the thermometer, they're like jabbing with their hands. So I can look out of the corner of my eye and see, you know, what Nancy's talking about and what Phyllis is talking about just by what they're doing with their hands.
How they're gesturing.
It's funny. Yeah.
Well, it's a fun day. And the other, last week, I had a call from someone who said, well, do they feed you turkey on Thanksgiving? And I said, well, one year, they actually did. They had a turkey dinner for us. But we're so busy talking, we hardly had time to eat the turkey. And we found that the best thing to have for us to eat that day is soup.
Yeah.
Because it's nice and warm.
So we're all
soothing.
Slurping.
Right.
Slurping
and
soup,
so
when we have a break.
Our lunch break is usually soup, and that seems to be the best.
It is. But
do you guys ever get calls from people who are just lonely on Thanksgiving? Does that happen a lot?
We are suspicious that's the case. They're, you know, almost making up a scenario that they want to share. And, of course, they like to extend the time by repeating and asking over and over. And, of course, if that's true, it's really a service we're helping with, you know, them with also. So it could be that we do get people who are lonely and they need to talk to somebody.
Yeah, it's probably most often happening in the quieter times, you know, before Thanksgiving or whatever. We have people that call us to check if we've changed our minds. Sometimes they may have a turkey cooking method that we've told them is maybe not safe, that they really should do it in a different manner. So they'll call back the next year to see if we've changed our standards or whatever, and they admit it. So it's cute. And we do have some people that say they call every year. You know, they don't
want to. Well, we do often ask our callers, how did you hear about the talk line? And some of them said, well, I've always known it. You know, my mother used to call, and now I call, so I have it written down, and I just call every year.
That's true. But you know, I don't know what is like your most memorable call, Marge? What, you know, that tickles your heart?
Well, I think it is often the new cook who really is feeling very uneasy about cooking for maybe for her husband's family for the first time or for a larger group. And of course she's cooking a piece of meat that's much larger than she's used to. And, you know, if we can kind of hold her hand and talk her through the method, it really becomes rewarding for us as well as for her, and she then feels she can do the job and it will be easy. I know that's the way my own children were when I came home, and all I had to do was say, well, you did a wonderful job. This, mm-hmm. you really followed the directions right. carefully, and it was wonderful of you to do the dinner this year.
Yeah, right. You know, we get asked so often, you know, if we are doing an interview or whatever, that we're always asked, what's your silliest question? And, you know, the ones that I do really, really remember more than anything are the ones that, you know, I'm kind of choking up listening to the stories, you know, the moms and the grandmothers that are making that really special meal because their granddaughter or their son or their grandson are, you know, on leave in the military. They're just about ready to be deployed, and they want to make the best meal they've ever made. And so they're calling us, and they're wanting to, you know, make sure that everything's right down to the mashed potatoes and the turkey is perfect. And, you know, as having kids, you and I both have kids, we can empathize how that would feel to, you know, to send your little special person off to do something that's very noble but very scary for a mom or whatever. One of the things that I remember that was always, you know, touched my heart, and I remember it all the time, it was in, you know, we've been doing this 30 years, and I know we've had a lot of hurricanes, and I think it was Hurricane Andrew. So it's been back a few years. The woman was living in one of those little, I don't even know what you call them, one of those things that the government provides.
Like a Quonset
or whatever. And her only thing that she had was a microwave. And she was bound and determined to make a traditional Thanksgiving meal for her family. And because, you know, she said, well, I've got so much to be thankful for. I have my family. Our house is destroyed. But here I am. I've got the kids. I've got whatever. And so we sat and we talked. You know, it was weird options. It was even, you know, cutting, there was going to be a larger turkey. We were cooking the turkey in parts in the microwave, heating up. I mean, so it was a long discussion, but it's one that, you know, every year I remember. So, and I'm sure you've had like those too.
Right. We do, you know, we never know when we answer the call what is going to come from the other end of the line. Sometimes it's a very simple question that we can answer very quickly, or sometimes it's much more involved, just as you described. And it really is heartwarming to get those. I always think of the 70-year-old who called me one year apologizing because she was cooking her first turkey. And she said, you must think I'm really strange, but this is the first year my mother is not here to cook. And so
God bless her mother that she was cooking all those years.
Right. And, you know, and so we do get people like that who are novices at the job, and we're kind of like their mom or their grandma and giving them some
advice. I've always said that families have that designated turkey cooker, you know, that does it every year. You know, a family, you know, one family always does Christmas, one family does Easter, and there's always someone that does, you know, the big turkey and all the trimmings on Thanksgiving. And eventually they pass that job on. So I had a grandma who she was not in good health, and neither was her husband. And her granddaughter was flying in and to have Thanksgiving with them, and I think some other people were coming too. So she wanted to make sure that everything that she passed on to her granddaughter was kosher, that it was okay, that we at the talk line would agree on all her methods. And I thought, that is really a tribute to, you know, our reputation and our expertise. So, you know, that's another one that kind of tickles my heart and warms my heart. Of course, we have the silly ones, too. So I'll ask you the worst question that you've ever been asked. What is the silliest question you ever heard, Martha? Don't you love answering that one?
Well, I do. But it can be very funny. I had one gentleman who called. He actually wasn't asking a question. He was calling to brag that he had solved his own problem. His turkey was too big for the pan he
had.
That
happens, right.
And his solution was to wrap the turkey in a towel, stomp on it, and break some bones, then it fit in the pan, and he could cook the turkey.
Oh, I got the mental picture of that.
And he was very proud of himself. Sorry, I didn't see that turkey.
It was a turkey that he carved in the kitchen.
That's right.
Definitely did not. I'm sure it didn't make, you know, carving on the with the china on the table. Yeah, people are wonderful, aren't they? They really.
Well, they're very inventive sometimes.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Do you have a funny one that you?
Yeah, I know you've heard this, Marge, but you know, I love telling it because it speaks to the fact that I've been around a long time, and it's the young man. I don't know if it was the first or the second year that I was there. He wanted to propose on Thanksgiving Day, which is very noble of him, but he wanted to mix the diamond ring in the stuffing and then stuff it inside the turkey. I'm looking at your face, Marge, and that's not a good idea. So, you know, I convinced him that that wasn't a good idea for a number of reasons. So what he decided to do is we decided together that he should tie it on a drumstick, carry it into the dining room, get down with a platter on one knee and propose. And so, you know, but every year I think about him. I think if she said yes and if everything went well, they've not got the kids around the dining room table. They've got the grandkids around the table. And I'm sure Grandpa tells that story every year. So it's my ideal.
Your
wish that that's what's happening, and that, you know, someday maybe that he might call and say, hey, we made it for 30 years. Could you believe that? I don't think that would happen, but that's, you know, I'm a dreamer.
Right. Well, what was your most challenging call?
Wow. It can always be the next one you pack up. You know, it used to be, and I think we still do, where we would talk to a blind people. They would call in, and so it's not something that you think about somebody's, you know, disability and how that would affect, you know, their cooking and things like that. I mean, they're used to it, so sometimes they kind of helped you along solving their problems, you know, like to testing for doneness and things like that. So, it, you know, it kind of throw you for a loop, but then after you got talking about it, you know, you became comfortable with it and you solved a problem. So that one just kind of clicks in my head. I'm sure there are other ones, but but sometimes people don't listen. I'm sure this has happened to you. They call for advice, but they don't listen.
Right.
And, you know, they're not hearing what
you're
saying.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you have to ask them a question before you can answer their question, because you need more information. And for some people, that is... that's saying that they're doing something wrong and they don't understand that you need that information. So it's a little more challenging to get to a solution. And
well, I always remember the call from a young bride who was cooking that first Thanksgiving for her family and her in-laws. And her mother and mother-in-law were having an argument which was the right way to do things. She was kind of whispering on the phone, and I asked her, why are you whispering? And she said, well, I don't want my mother and mother-in-law to know I'm calling you, but they're having this argument, and I decided I'd call and find out which is the right way. Well, she was very relieved when I told her it was her mother who had the right solution, and she felt very good about it then.
Yeah, but she had to go tell her mother-in-law she was wrong.
But at least she could blame us and not herself.
That's true. That's true. That takes it off her shoulder. Yeah, we do settle arguments sometimes, don't we? You know, he said, she said, and then most of the time there's an element of rightness in both of their opinions.
Right.
So sometimes you can be very diplomatic and give them both kudos or whatever and maybe come up with even a solution that is right down the middle that'll work for both people. But sometimes it, when you're hanging up, they'll say, "I told you so." people are just wonderful. I think that's one of the best parts about our jobs, don't you think? Mm-hmm. That it is that you really get to see all sides of people, and they are so grateful that you're there. Mm-hmm. You know, not even that first Monday in November, but they're so grateful that you're there on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. They call us, you know, fairy godmothers, and you're my angel, and how many God blesses do we get?
Right.
God bless you, God bless you. You know, they are mm-hmm. very, very thankful, and amazingly, as busy as we are on Thanksgiving, sometimes people will call up and just everybody around the table will say, "Thank you, Turkey Lady." Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only reason that they call, is just thank us. I mean, I don't know if they've heard about us on TV, if they've called in previous years, but, you know, it's great to do a job that
people appreciate.
Yeah, that yes, people appreciate. Yeah, yeah. And that's not the way everybody, and maybe that's why we come back to this job.
Mm-hmm. It is really gratifying.
Yeah.
We also get more men calling now.
We do.
Used to be it was kind of a rarity when a man called, but now it's probably 20-25% of our calls are men.
I know.
And, of course, about 3 years ago, we added men to our staff. Not that we wouldn't have had them sooner, but we had no men who were brave enough to join us. But they're doing, we have, three or four?
Yeah.
And they're really doing a wonderful job.
They are. And men have good questions. And, men are cooking. You know, I have a son who is a stay-at-home dad who does most of the cooking. So it's not surprising that we're getting more and more calls. And some of them are very proud, though, that they're grilling in the backyard or they're deep-frying their turkey.
Right.
But, you know, some of them are doing the whole meal. So they're proud of that. I don't blame them. You know.
Sure. Yeah. Well,
did you share the story? I heard that there's a man whose wife was in labor on Thanksgiving.
You know what? You know, babies are born. Babies are born every day of the year. And sometimes we get calls from the mom-to-be. I don't know if you've ever gotten one, Marge, that, you know, she's thinking ahead. Well, what if I go in labor now? What if I, you know, what if I've got the turkey thawing or whatever? And then we actually have gotten a call from a dad. You know, wife's in labor, and he's worried about the turkey that's in the refrigerator. And I tell them, you know, get mom to the hospital. The turkey will be perfectly fine. The beauty is once you thaw a turkey, Marge, right? They've got an extra 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
So mom and baby will be back in 4 days and at least, and you'll be able to slide that turkey into the oven. It's so easy to prepare. Then you can feast on your turkey, enjoy the baby and mom and whatever. But it is cute. It's, you know. It's one of those calls you don't expect, but it certainly is one that is gratifying and kind of makes you chuckle. I could just picture it, can't you?
Right.
Suitcase, turkey in the fridge, husband's going, and at least that's something he doesn't have to worry about.
Right. Well, each year we think we've heard every question that could possibly be asked, but every year we get new ones all the time. And new situations, and I guess that's what's kind of fun, the problem solving.
It is. You never know who's going to be on the end of that phone and what they're going to ask. And it's fun. People are a hoot. They really are. They are a hoot. So,
how does it feel after the day's over on Thanksgiving Day?
Well, it's really a satisfaction to know that you have been such a good help to people. And you know, I then will go off on my little jaunt to the cousin's house, and I feel very comfortable that I've helped people, and now I can go and relax.
We'll have to admit that we are tired, though, Marge,
no,
aren't we?
It is,
because your adrenaline is going for 8 or 9 hours. So my ride home from the end of the day, I got to pay attention to what I'm doing because I'm thinking about what happened and got to make sure I check all the lights and things like that. So I'm sometimes happy just to sit on the couch for a little bit and gather a little energy and whatever, and you know, ready for my turkey dinner or whatever. So yeah, and the next day we're right back at it because we're open all the way until Christmas Eve. So we are back the next day. Lots of people don't have Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day. They may have it on Saturday or Sunday. So they're actually cooking turkey when we get back to the line on the Friday after Thanksgiving. So it doesn't end. It's more nice people on the phone.
Certainly. Well, they, you know, they do, it's having the family together. We try to emphasize that's the important part.
It is.
And the food, we'd like to make it as perfect as we can, but it doesn't really come down to that.
It comes to
the enjoyment of being together.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny if something goes wrong, because then you got a memory for years and years and take a picture of it and whatever. So, you know, families are about telling stories and remember when. So, you know, it's okay. You're right, March. It's the family. The feast is great, but the family and the friends and gathering together, that's really what's important.
Well, I think Butterball has been wonderful for providing this service for so many years.
It is amazing.
And nice to know we've been appreciated.
Yeah.